You guys, you are here on Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and many of you are like, gosh, I bet he's going to talk about Jesus. This is a good educated guess. Good job. We've actually been talking about, it's on my shirt. I have to. Look, we've been talking about for the last 16 weeks the entire story of God in about 16 different passages, 16 different verses. There's so many more. But this is an intertwined, interconnecting, amazing story about God. We like it when it's about us. Well, he's included us big time in this story. We're the only ones that he made in our image. But this story, 16 verses, one story, is about God. He's the hero. He made us, and well, we blew it. Not just some of us, but all of us. And so we're saying, like, at Crosswater, we really want to be rooted because there's a whole lot happening in our world that doesn't make sense. And we want to root people in Jesus. We can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can, but we can introduce, we can be about it, we can be in his word and sharing his word and living his word and in his kingdom because he saves us. But we don't want to keep it to ourselves. And so look, I'm going to tell you the entire last 15 weeks in these three little statements. And Casey talked about last week about being justified and that God paid for us, and so good. Please go back and listen to that. But here's how the whole story gets summed up in three little statements. God plants, man uproots, God regenerates. Have you ever screwed something up so bad that you couldn't fix it? Anybody? Yeah, I was over at my daughter's house last night because they asked me to kind of help fix one of their toilets a couple weeks ago. Now their wood floor needs to be fixed. I'm going to need somebody who knows what they're doing to jump up in there and help out. What's that? Do you know a carpenter? There was this one guy, this one time. Listen, God said, I'm the only one who can fix it. This goes all the way back to the beginning. Literally, the first two people screwed the whole thing up. And some of you are like, man, if I was there, we'd be doing a lot better. Really? Listen to this. You know their story, and you've still screwed things up. Me too. When I say, you know how pastors are. Y'all smell like sin. No, we need Jesus. And so he came. And he was promised to have come. There was this very first gospel, the very first good news, was that there's going to be some people that follow the devil. And there's going to be some people that follow God. And he called them the seed or the offspring or the children of the devil or the children of the spring or the offspring, the seed of the woman. And that would be actually the Savior of the world would be the offspring of the woman. He said that the offspring of the woman is going to have his heel struck by the offspring of the serpent. But that the offspring, the child of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent. That was good news. It's like, look, they barely even had time to understand how jacked up their whole story was going to be before God said, I'm going to fix it. And he continued to promise that all the way through the scriptures in this intertwined story that we've been looking at. And it comes down to this one offspring of the woman, Jesus. I mean, seriously, the story's about him. I had this lady ask another friend of mine who's a pastor, so what are you going to do for Easter? And he goes, you mean like celebrating and stuff? No, like, what? How are you going to, like, preach it and get it all? And he's like, I'm going to share the best story ever. Some of us want, like, smoke show, right? And some lasers. At least maybe some pancakes, you could make those. And the shape of the stone that was rolled away, right? I mean, just something. Do something spectacular. And I'm like, Something spectacular, a little spectacular thing already happened. We just got to tell people about it. Then we got to live like it's real. Because it is. Be stoked about this. And so, I want to lift Jesus up on Resurrection Sunday. But let's look at three different ways that that actually happens in the Bible. If you will, and you have your Bible, sweet, we're going to go to John 12:32. And if you don't have it, it's up on the screen. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles. We'd love for you to get one and wear it out. But we're going to go all the way to John 12. John was, his title that was given to him was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wasn't disgusted with the other ones, but they had this tight-knit relationship. And he wrote down a bunch of stuff. He's literally called the disciple of love. As history goes, John, when he got older, and they tried to kill him a bunch of ways, he ended up dying of natural causes. One time they tried to boil him in oil. That didn't work. Then they're like, just put him out on an island. Let him just die out there. As he was getting near his death, he just kept saying, love, love. Now, we talk about that a lot in this world. Love, love, love. You know what? We even sang songs about it in the 60s and all the way up into now. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. I love me some pizza. I love me some Jesus. I love me some shoes. Not always in that order. And we talk about love, but this guy wrote about it. He was so close to Jesus, he literally had Jesus lay on his chest. And he laid on Jesus' chest, and they hung out together, and they lived life together. And John saw Jesus dead. It's so phenomenal. And so he writes down eyewitness account stuff of Jesus. John 12:32. Jesus says, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So we're lifting up Jesus. He was lifted up. Verse 33 that I don't have on the screen for you, but I wanted to read for you. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. You know what the people did when they heard that? What? The Messiah doesn't get crucified. Where's that at in the law? We've already looked back that the Messiah was going to be crushed. He was going to be messed with, but he wasn't going to stay dead. Good news. Jesus called his shot. Like, look, when I'm lifted up off the earth, I'm going to draw men to me. And that men means mankind. So don't think, ladies, you're out of luck. So that's the first way he's lifted up. Can somebody tell me, as we're turning to Luke 24:6-7, what did that mean that Jesus said, I'll be lifted up? Anybody? He's going to be up on the cross just for a little bit, right? Okay, sweet. Man, Mike, you're jumping ahead, man. I'm a boy, though. Yeah, I did ask, right? Come on, tell me. That's good. He was hung on the cross. He's beat so bad before that he could barely walk. Then he tried to carry his cross, and he couldn't do that. And Simon of Cyrene came to help him do that, and they crucified him. They lifted him up, even though everybody's like, that's not what happens to the Messiah. They had in their minds, and we looked about this a few weeks ago, we understand that God should look exactly the way we think he should look. Our Savior should be the way we think he should be. So we make him in our image or the image we want him to be in. But he's like, no, look, this is how I'm going to save everybody. It's going to look real bad for a minute. But as the old preacher said, Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. And so that's where we're at. We're on that Sunday, 2,000 plus years later. But here is an eyewitness account. And there's this recording of what happened. Luke 24, verses 6 and 7. So the first lifted up was Jesus crucified on the cross. This is the second lifted up, and this is making a big deal out of Jesus. They show up, these women, to anoint his body and to take care of him because it was Saturday was their Sabbath day, and they couldn't do it. So they're coming on Sunday, first day of the week for them. I'm going to take care of Jesus. This is going to be good. I mean, he's dead, but we want to honor him. And they show up, and there's this angel in there instead. And the tomb's empty. And here's what the angel says. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. What's the second lifting up of Jesus that we're talking about this morning? Resurrection from the dead, right? He didn't stay dead. Look, how puny is your God if he can't take death and whoop it? A lot of you, your God can be money. A lot of us, our God can be notoriety. Our God can be love of people. But if our God is Jesus, he died and he rose from the dead. But here's something super cool. He didn't just die and rise from the dead. He wants you to be part of the story. Let's go to Acts 1. As you turn to Acts, which is just a couple of books away there, you're going to see some really cool stuff. If you read through this book and you're like, well, why don't you? We actually did a series on that. You can go back and look at it, but you can read it on your own. But Luke 1, 8 through 9, Jesus, 40 days later, after he rose from the dead, he showed himself to a ton of people, 500 people at one time and a bunch of other people. He's getting ready to get lifted up in a different way. Check this out. Acts 1, 8 through 11. But you will receive power, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Can you guys, with me, just really quick, say these words, end of the earth with me? 1, 2, 3. End of the earth. That's why we're talking about Jesus today in Sultan, Washington, in 2022. He's like, look, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. In your hometown, Jerusalem, you're going to tell people about me. And you're going to be witnesses. And then you're going to go to the surrounding people that are a little bit different from you. And then all over the world, you're going to be my witnesses. And what would we bear witness to? The lifting up of Jesus. The death, the resurrection of Jesus. The inclusion of us, of being set free. If we would. Check this out. Verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Can you just let me paint a picture really quick? They're all standing there. Jesus was talking to them, and all of a sudden, right there in front of them. Can we all just for a second look up? They're looking up. And all of a sudden, these men in white robes are also there with them, looking up. They weren't just dudes that woke up like, what's going on? We got our robes on. We got our house shoes. What's happening? They were angels. And they say this, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. What was his parting words for them? Stand on this hill and look up till I get back. Anybody catch that in there? No. But when I come back, you better be busy. Those dishes better be done. No, it's like, go and be my witnesses. Go and share this good news. What kind of good news? Never-ending good news. We finished this whole story of the 16 verses all the way through the Bible, this one story, and we By the way, I want to give Dr. Chris Bruno a huge shout out because he's a big fan of our, he's never heard of us. But here's what's up. It's the whole story of the Bible in 16 verses. We snagged a bunch of stuff from him, and we give God credit for making this guy and him sharing the good news with us. But we end this whole story with a story that never ends. A glory, a good news that never ends. Anybody need some good news today? Anybody? Two of us, three of us, four. Look, I feel like I'm sold. All right, great. So here's where we're at. The end of the book. Will you turn with me to Revelation 21? Remember that guy I was telling you about? The disciple or the apostle of love? John? Well, he wrote Revelation. It's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealing Jesus in a really intimate way. But this is near the end of that book after some really cool, terrifying, wonderful things happen. He starts to paint what this whole story that we've been looking at is going to look like at the end. This fulfiller of all the promises, the promise keeper that we just sang about is God, Yahweh, the Daddy, Yahweh, the Son, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, keeps his promises. He made a ton of promises and is all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so here's how it goes. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man.'" For those of you who just woke up with a louder voice, good morning. All right. "He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Some of you heard mourning in there, and you're like, "I don't have to get up?" No, that's the grief. No more grief. Two different ways, he says, there's not going to be any more grief. I don't know how you're feeling when you read that, but I'm like, I can't wait. But we get to wait. But we wait, and we see, and we know as those who believe that when God says something, friend, he does it. He doesn't like, "Well, I don't feel like it today." How many of you made a New Year's resolution? I'm not going to ask you what it was, but did anybody like, "I'm going to commit to something new this year"? None of you are willing. Okay, a few of you are willing. All right. "I was going to make sure this shirt fit better." It's not, I'm going to get there. It didn't necessarily shrink while it was in the drawer. I just stayed where I was at. God doesn't go, "You start to eat better, I'll love you more." No, listen, friends. He's saying, "I am crazy about you. I love you. I came for you. I paid for you." And the end of the story is that there's going to be no problems. In this world, you'll have trouble, Jesus said. But take heart, I've overcome this world. And there's going to be this great end of the story. And he's a promise keeper, and he's a way maker, and he's the Lord God Almighty, and he does what he says. So let me unpack these four verses really quick for you with three pieces of good news. It's all right here, and we just read it. The first one is New Jerusalem. What? So this is just for the Jews then? Oh, you guys, Jerusalem is just like this picture. Because Jerusalem was this holy city, the city of God's peace, the reign of peace, if you will. And it was where God said, "This is where my presence is going to be." But we just read, and we're going to look at it in piece number two, that the dwelling place of God He's going to be with his people. But New Jerusalem is this picture that the whole entire world will be restored the way it's supposed to be. It'll be one city, and it's huge, and it's New Jerusalem. And it's for how many nations? Anybody? All of them. Not just America or Asia or Honduras or whatever you would like it to be, but all of them. God's people, God's presence, and it'll fill the whole earth. And he's going to have, like it says in Revelation 5, which we won't read today, every tribe, every language, every nation, every people will be there. That doesn't mean every person of all them, because some are going to say, I don't want the good news. I don't think it's good news. And some of you may be sitting here today saying, I don't think it's going to be good news. I'm not going to arm wrestle you. I believe this good news. I proclaim this good news. I have to be reminded of this good news. And after I'm done here second service, I'm going to go eat ham and celebrate that good news. A little ironic though, right? Jewish savior of the world, and I'm going to eat ham because he said it was good. And I'm going to eat it. Look, the promise is to bless the whole world. And so like Tiny Tim said in A Christmas Carol, God bless us, everyone. Why is he bringing up Christmas? Why not? It's the beginning of the story that we think, but actually we've been learning that it goes way, way back to the very beginning. And it ends with this never-ending story, the New Jerusalem. Everybody, and we get to be part of that everybody story. More on that in a second. So the second piece of good news is that the dwelling place of God is with man. You won't have to go to church. You won't have to go out on a mountain and try and have this quiet time with the Lord. And some of us have already recognized that we're in Jesus Christ and he's in us. We feel him, but now we're going to have this life forever. And boy, that seems like a long time. Some of you are like, gosh, a forever service? So now would be a bad time to take an offering? No, I just said, seriously. It's not going to be that. It's going to be this experience of what Adam and Eve only just got a taste of before they screwed it up. But we're going to experience it in the way it was supposed to be. How long? Do you even know what forever is?
Feels like this morning, man. Get to it.
All right, good. But no, seriously, whatever like your greatest moment has ever been, and it's been good, and it's been God-honoring, that'll just last forever. And that doesn't even touch, I mean, I'm trying to explain something that I've never actually physically experienced. Can't wait for it, though. Paul's there. Not just the Paul here, but Paul Hawkinson. Sandy Johnson. Your mom. Your dad. Your loved one. Cliff Cundy. This guy was a train wreck before Jesus. And now he's in his presence. This guy had two knees that didn't barely work, but he got himself up every single morning and went to work. Now he's dancing. The dwelling place of God will forever be with man. And finally, it says the former things have passed away. That's a great piece of good news. How many can't wait for a new body? How many of you can't wait for people not arguing over stuff? How many of you can't wait for addictions to be shattered? How many of you can't wait for being able to say, I love you, and hear, I love you back? How many of you can't wait to say, I do, and then live it out and mean it? You know, on a bunch of those, you can get started right now because of Jesus Christ. He didn't rise from the dead just so you could say, or he's like, come on, try and keep up. No one's like, live for him, dear friend. Live with him. The former things have passed away. I love this. Wipe every tear from their eye. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying. By the way, I messed that up. He said it three different ways. There'd be no more crying. I was all kinds of weepy on Friday thinking about what Jesus did for us and how badly I needed him to do that. No more pain. The former things have passed away. All of the jacked up pain and agony that we deserved will be gone. And so to keep with the rooted theme one more time at the end here of this message on Resurrection Sunday, I want to tell you, there's three trees that we've learned about in these last 16 weeks. The first one goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the one thing that God said, don't do this. And many people have said for years, well, if God didn't want them to touch it, he never should have said anything about it. It's like a kid, right? We go like, look, don't touch that. You mean this? Yeah, and we want it. No, God was like, look, I love you. I want this to be a real relationship. I want you to trust me. I'm not prohibiting you from something that's good for you. I'm prohibiting you from something that's bad for you, but you get to choose. And choose they and we did. That first tree was to bring death. And it did. And it does. The next tree we just talked about is the cross of Christ. You know, the cross made out of wood. It's a tree. It's almost a play on words, but it was cursed on that tree. Why was he cursed? Take your pointer finger really quick. Don't point to your neighbor. Don't point to anybody up on the balcony. He was cursed because of me and because of you. But on that tree, he paid our price. Casey talked about last week. Go back and listen to that message. It was profound. Finally, the third and literally the final tree is called the tree of life. It was in the garden, and God said, I'm not letting them be messed up and away from me and eat from the tree of life and be separated from me forever. Dear friend, God doesn't want you away from him forever. You can still choose that if you want. And I pray in Jesus' name that you don't. I pray that you look at the second tree and go, oh, Lord, my sin? You paid my price? All the gross stuff you did, yep, and that you will do later. Every sin he covered. And then he wants you to live forever. So we'll go to Revelation 22, 1 through 2. You want to talk about rooted? Woo, baby, this is rooted right here. Revelation 22, 1 through 2. End of the book, right? This is literally near the end. Last chapter of what we have in our Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, all of them. You know where the life comes from the tree of life? Where was the source? Did you guys catch it in there? It comes from who? Yes, from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Like, and it just dawned on me, you know what? For the rest of forever, we're going to have to rely on God for life. And he says, gotcha. Not, gotcha, but I've got you. I'm yours. You're mine. We're together forever. I want you to live. I'm giving you fruit all the time. You're totally set free. So is this really the end of the story? Or is it just never-ending good news? What do you want? What are you going to do with this? I encourage you. I invite you. I remind you. Stay rooted in him and start planting. Church, get out there and share the good news. You know, the greatest thing that we were made for was love. To be loved and to love. That's what God wants for you now and forever. That's why he gave his son. That's why his son was lifted up from the grave. That's why his son was lifted up into the air, gave his Holy Spirit, says, I'm coming back, and he will. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at a psalm about being loved called Known. Psalm 139. You are known, and you are made to know. Come and get some of that. We have these questions, and I want to go ahead and read them to you because some of you haven't got our app yet, but these are, we do this, we go through these, and some of us get together on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here in the cafe. We invite you, love to have you come and be a part of that and discuss this passage and passages in this case, and then this message. But here you go. First question, what are some surprises, reminders, encouragements, and or takeaways from our 16-week journey through the Bible? What part of Jesus being lifted up in John, him saying it, in Luke, him raising from the dead, or in Acts, him being raised up after saying, go and make it? What part of that has the most impact on you today, right now, and why? How does the never-ending good news encourage you to live for Jesus in this broken world? And before reading through the Bible in 16 different passages, did you tend to think of the Bible as a bunch of loosely connected stories? Or as one story about God's plan to save his people and renew the world? Because of this, how has your perspective changed? And that was from Dr. Chris Bruno's study guide. Final question. How is God calling you to share his good news with family, friends, and even strangers? What's your plan to pray about it and then do it? Finally, when will you do it? Please don't put it off till tomorrow. Some of you are going to go to a celebration right now where some people need to hear the good news, even if they already know it. Some of your family and friends don't know it yet. They don't believe it. And they're like, don't mess us up. I like potatoes. You're making them feel weird in my stomach. So say, Avery, can we go out and talk? I want to share the best story ever with you. And if they say no, try them again sometime. Don't badger them. Is now a good time? Is now a good time? Is now a good time? But live your life in a real way with them and show them this good news that's never ending. And I just want to pray with you right here at the end. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your justice. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you so much for your love. We pray, Lord, for more people to know your love. I pray for more people to show your love. And I pray that we would take this never-ending good news and make it known until you come back, because you said you were going to, and you do what you say. God, I praise you for this. In Jesus' righteous name, amen. Hey, so I told you before, if you didn't take communion because you're like, I'm not sure about this Jesus thing, if today you have recognized, not as a result of my preaching, but of the good news of the Bible, the good news that we sang, and indeed the good news that was preached, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means nobody else is, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So he was lifted up, and then he was lifted up. If you believe that, you're saved. Get that communion and celebrate his body broken and his blood shed. He keeps his promises. Jesus loves you. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.